morning. So we're going to be talking about the three little pigs. What are we building our house on? What are our family blueprints? That's kind of the title. We're looking at building a foundation on our life. And this morning, we're going to take a passage out of the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Are you guys ready? Are you guys leaning in this morning? Or are you just exhausted from a full weekend? Because I think this morning God has something significant and specific for us right where we live. Matthew 7 says this, Jesus is speaking. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall. Why? Because it had its foundation on the rock. It is good. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And when the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, it fell with a great crash. Lord, I just pray this morning that you would give us wisdom. Lord, we want to be wise people. Wise people that build on a strong foundation. And Father, we look to you. In Jesus' name. You know, it's clear here in this passage, and this is going to be really encouraging, that God does not always stop the rain, the flooding, the strong wind from invading our lives, our family, and our home. I didn't hear one amen for that. Yeah. The winds are coming, the storms are coming, the rain is coming. He's saying life is going to be hard. But if you're one that builds your house upon the right foundation, you will withstand the storms of life. We're all familiar with the Italian architect in 1174 who wanted to build this tower, this bell tower for the cathedral of the city of Pisa. How many of you guys have ever seen or been to the Leaning Tower of Pisa? It's become this incredible little monument, but it's a fascinating tower. It's 8 stories, 185 feet tall. There was one little problem that the builders discovered when they started building this, is the soil was pretty soft and the tower began to lean, and so they began to try to figure out ways to compensate for this lean, and they began to redesign the windows in a way so that it would have this look like it was still standing tall, and it only took them, and it depends who, some people said they worked on it for over 300 years, but one place I saw said it took them 176 years for that. And I thought, you know, how many of us, how much of my life has been focused on working really hard trying to make myself look right, to stand right, and no matter how hard I work at it, just like what the professionals say about this is destined to fall. Even if it takes 176 years, it's still destined to fall, no matter how much they have tried to make that thing look straight. And there could have been a clue. I thought this was interesting. The word Pisa actually means marshlands. They should have known that the soil was soft. And you know how deep the foundation was? Only 10 feet. No wonder it does not stand straight and tall. It was built with a faulty foundation from the very beginning. So this morning, as I was thinking about this morning, I'm I'm putting together and collecting notes and thoughts, and I got to 19 pages of notes and thoughts, which is typical for Sunday, and then I try to think about, whittle it down, and yet nothing was grabbing me, saying, Lord, what is it that you're wanting to say about blueprints to a healthy family? What do you want to say to us? And then I got a little message from Martha, who has been so faithful with serving us, who was going away on women's retreat this weekend, and she said, could you please get me the message early? And I'm still trying to figure through. But I love how God speaks to us when we call out to Him and say, God, help me. What are you wanting to say to me? What are you wanting to say to us? And I put my face in His book. We call it God's Facebook. And if you want to know what we've been doing, we've got a little card over here that just gives a reading plan, and it's just a tool. But this right here is a way that we can have our face in His book, and it'll walk us through the Bible. It'll walk us through the New Testament twice in a year, and Psalms and Proverbs twice, and just to say, God, what is it you want to say to me? Because we want to live our life in a way that is built upon His Word and His foundation and be able to walk that out. And so here I am reading, and I came across this passage, and I felt the Lord say, this is what I want you to speak about this morning, that's foundation. And here's my first thought. It's so basic. And then my little coach's hat came on, and I thought, it's basics that win wrestling matches. It's the fundamentals. It's not the fancy moves. It's the fundamentals. And I felt like the Lord said, I want to remind us, Dan, and I need to remind you, when all is stripped away, what is important? So it was in our reading this week. If you've been putting your face in His book, you would have came across 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2, and 3. And I've always loved this passage because I think of, this is what I want when I think about God and I think about Jesus. I think about what Jesus would pray for us as a church and how He'd think of us. And I really believe this is how He thinks of us. But this is Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica who had gone through this place where they made a statement of faith. And then the wind and the storms and the struggles came. And they went through incredible persecution, incredible suffering. And Paul says this, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord just highlighted that, and I said, I want you to speak to this. Well, what? 1 Corinthians 13, and now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. When everything else is stripped away, these three will remain. It's a family blueprint. When all else is stripped away. And what hit me is we've got an enemy who's been at this a long time. And what does he want to take away from us? Faith, hope, and love. And I don't know why, but I caught it. The enemy's not after my car. He's not after my stuff. He'll use those things so that he can strip me of my faith, hope, and love. We just got keys to the enemy's schemes. When my legs are burning and I can't get out of bed, I can't even get into the shower. See, the enemy's not coming after your legs. He's coming after faith, hope, and love. And what you shared with me this morning is said, I've held on to hope, faith, and love. And it's from there that we stand. It's powerful when you can understand what the enemy is up to and you can say, you're trying to rob me of my faith. You're trying to steal my hope. You're trying to take away my love. You can strip everything away, and this is going to remain faith, hope, love. It's foundation. Isn't that good? Man, that just, it just preached to me this week. Personally. Because I can see places where God has been trying to take my faith, my hope, and my love. Where the enemies come after, and yet God has said, no. It's foundation. It's foundation. Romans chapter 4. Abraham is said to be the greatest example of faith. It is Abraham's faith that made him righteous. Listen, not a circumcision. Not all the stuff he did. He was righteous because he had faith. It wasn't what he did. It was what God had promised and him believing God for the promise. Abraham believed God. He believed that he was going to be the father of many nations. Even though he was 99 years old and his wife was not that far behind, he believed God. It was Abraham's faith. Many of you, a number of you got to meet my friend Brian Jameson over here. And Brian is a consultant helping Christians understand Islam, Muslims, and Muslims to understand Christians and to begin dialogue that's a healthy dialogue. And an amazing man. Children of Abraham. But there's things that have happened, I believe, in our life where we lose our identity and we forget who we are. How do we remind ourselves of who we are? Abraham believed God. His identity of who he was and the promises he had came not from what he could do, but from what God had said he would do. And it was credited to him as righteousness. So, first blueprint, family blueprint is this, faith. Simple, it's foundational, it's basic. Believe God. The first thing is that we want to believe God. And the Bible would say, then you are credited as righteous. And then you can look at yourself and go, but you don't know me. I'm a mess. No, I know you. I know me. But more importantly, we know him. And we know what he said. He said he's going to finish what he's begun. Has he begun a work in you? God, I believe you. You're going to finish what you've begun, and you've got a lot of work to do here. But I believe you. I believe, Lord, that when you say that you take a hold of me, you're not going to let me go. I have faith. I believe, God, that you're going to hold on to me all the way to the end. My circumstances are failing all around me, but God, I believe you. You say that you have prepared a place for me, that there is a place that I will be with you forever and ever and ever, and it's going to be incredible. God, I'm going to believe you, not my circumstances. Faith. What does the enemy want to do on this side of eternity? He wants to steal you of your faith, of your belief in that what God has said is true, is true. And you've been given now one of the enemy's schemes and his plans, and now we know how to fight against it. Oh, I recognize what's happening here. You're trying to steal my faith. I'm not going to believe this. Enemy speaking over you, you're a failure. You keep doing the same thing over and over and over. You aren't a good Christian. You don't have a good relationship. That little enemy's just speaking. And what can I say? Oh, that's the enemy. What's he trying to do? He's trying to steal my faith. God, I believe you. You say, you've covered me. You say I don't have to live in my shame. You say that I am your son. You say that you love me. I love that song. It's who I am. Loved by God. You say that you're my friend. You say that you're for me, not against me. You're not going to rob me of my faith. I believe God. And we stand with that foundation. Is that not good? And what will you see in faith? Your life. What you see in faith, your life will reflect. in faith, I believe this to be true, my life will begin to reflect that. It says this work that was produced by what? Faith. Not the work, but our faith. And your work will not be in vain. And church, we're a family of faith. That's who we are. We do not believe that our works make us righteous before God. So it's not about works. We have faith which produces our work. It's not the other way around. We should take then the promises in God's word for our family. What has God promised you about your kids, your family? And let's believe Him. And let's walk as if it's true. So the first thing is faith. The second thing that we've got to hold on to is hope. A few of you are with me this morning. Hope is something that is very difficult to separate from faith. The two are intrinsically linked, intertwined, connected. And then I came across Romans 5, and I love this. Because Romans 5 begins with faith and leads to hope. It begins with faith and leads to hope. Listen, therefore, since we have been justified through our works, through faith, it begins with faith. I love this. Therefore, pay attention, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. It's my faith, it's believing God that brings me peace. In the midst of whatever's going on, I can have peace with Him. And that peace comes with God through only one way, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. I can be at peace with God because of you and what you've done. And by putting my faith in you, I'm going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Wow. It's faith. It starts with faith. Hang with me here. Through whom? Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access. How did we gain access? By faith. It's the key. It opens the door into His grace. It's not something I've done. It's this grace that's been given. Wow. In which I have my foundation. Of which I can stand. I can say, how great is our God. I can sing, how great is our God. With my eyes, my heart, my hands, I can stand before. Because I know through faith in Jesus Christ, He's given me that foundation to stand. I'm at peace. Listen, it's coming. Into this grace which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Oh, it gets better in here too. This is so good. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Winds are going to come. Storms are going to come. The rain is going to come. The floods are coming. They will come. And it says, and we glory in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. The enemy wants to steal my hope. And so he'll come at me and come at me and come at me. I know, though, this is good. This is going to allow me to persevere, and it's going to build my character. And by building my character, I'm going to have hope. 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 And hope does not put us to shame. Now listen, because why? Faith, hope, love. They're all right there. And His love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who He's given us. Faith, hope, and love. That's what the enemy wants to come and steal. Now we know. We know the enemy's plan. You know, secular thinking back in Paul's day, hope was just a temporary wish. And hope is often viewed that way for us today. We can say something like, if something's going to happen, I hope it does. But that's not the kind of hope that we're talking. It's not wishful thinking. Listen, hope that comes from God is the kind of hope that holds on, even when the seasons or the circumstances suggest that there is no way that our promise can come true. That is why the champions of faith, the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, are also beacons of hope. So our family blueprint, faith, we're going to believe God. Two, we're going to hold on to hope at all times. We have an enemy that wants to steal our hope, and now we know what he's up to. And when you start to feel hopeless, it's a key. The enemy's been trying to steal something, and we've got to know, then we've got to hold on to hope. There's hope beyond this side of eternity. There's hope in a forever life with God. And deep down, we know this to be true, but we've got to make this a serious reality in our life. Or we'll be too obsessed with what's going around, all around in our world, and we're going to miss the things that really matter. So I want to encourage you that when things are going wrong in your life, hold on to hope, hold on to God's promises. That would be a wonderful time for a healthy amen. Amen. We're going to hold on because he's holding on to me and he'll never let me go. I have faith to believe that and have the hope to hold on to that. Love. You know, you can act without acting out of love, but it is impossible to have love and not to act. That was good right there. Faith, hope, and love are the essentials and cannot exist without each other. Hope cannot exist apart from faith, and love cannot be exercised without hope. We need faith to believe. We need hope to endure and love to make it all worthwhile. So, our family blueprint here, faith, believe God. Two, hold on to hope at all times, in all times. And three, to have a love that's greater than our own. Do you know that we have an enemy that wants to steal your love? You know, people often think that love is an attribute that you either have for a person or not. But God makes it clear that love is both an act of will and it's a gift from God. And it's both and. It's an act of my will and it's a gift given by God. It's a decision. I decide to love God. I decide to love each other. Yet I know this. Love can't come from me. Love comes from a God, for God is love. Therefore, to choose love is to choose Him. And to allow Him to lavish His love on you. We can get so caught up with who I am and He can't love me. He can't love me. He wants to lavish His love. It's got to start with saying, God, lavish your love on me. And then let His love, because He gives you more love than what you can contain. So that it will spill out on all those around you. So that it overflows around you. Be willing to be loved by God. Be willing to let Him love you to a place where His love just flows. Wow. And that, my friends, is a love greater than my own. I cannot tell you how much I realize in my own strength, I don't know how to love. I'm not capable of, I can get so focused on me. And there's no love. But when I get my eyes fixed on Him and I allow Him to love me, it's amazing the resource of love that I'm able to give. Be willing to be loved by God with a love that's greater than your own. Romans 5:5, we read it. God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He's given us. It's me being willing to receive. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, You are a picture of His love that wants to fill me to the fullest. So, in conclusion, I think we all want to be an effective family. And God simply wants us to come back to the basics. 1 Corinthians 13:3. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Why? Because God is love. So when everything, the winds, the storms, the floods, the big bad wolf, what's our foundation built on? It's built on Him who is love. And we're going to have faith to believe Him and hope that allows us to endure, to hold on. And a love that's greater than our own. So thankful that God, just these moments where He just says, pay attention here. And my first, that's so basic. It's deep, it's profound, it's powerful. When you understand what the enemy's trying to do. Oh, you got cancer, what's he trying to steal your hope? No, I'm going to hold on to hope. Nobody numbers my days. He numbers my days. Do you understand? Those things are a distraction. When all is stripped away, faith, hope, and love, so that we can know that this prayer is also being prayed for us. This group of people that meets in a middle school cafeteria and goes and loves on their community, knowing that this, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember that before God, before our God and your Father, your work was produced by faith, because we're just a people, we believed God. And so we went out and did the things knowing that we believe You, God. You've promised us this North County. You've promised us this group of people. You've promised us that where our feet are, Your presence is there. You've promised us that we can speak to the things You want to do in this community. And we step out, and it's produced by faith, and that our labor is prompted by our love. Oh, we've been loved so lavishly by God that we can't help but go out and just give that away, and that our endurance was inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. As our worship team comes, just this thought to me this morning for you to spend time with Jesus with this question: where has the enemy been trying to steal your faith, your hope, or your love? You know, sometimes he's not coming after all three. He might come after one little area. I want to rob you of your hope. Or you came to church this morning, on the way to church, you and your wife had one of those discussions. I know it never happens with you guys. Is the enemy trying to rob you of love? Or maybe he's attacking you in a place of your faith. Where is the enemy coming and wanting to get his little fingers in? Don't get distracted by the stuff here. Recognize what he's coming after and take a stand. That's foundation. That's building a foundation in our life that allows us to stand and to stand strong. And this morning we recognize some of you may need just somebody to pray with you. I've been being attacked in this area. Now I see the enemy's plans. And I want you to agree with me that I'm going to stand in hope here. I want you to agree in me that I'm a stand in faith, or I want you to agree with me that I'm a stand in a place of love. We've got a group of people that would love to pray with you right back there as we close, and you're welcome to at any point to just go and say, would you pray with me? And just know that it's not because we've got people that have special prayers. You can turn to the person next to you and say, would you pray with me? We're all in this together, and we've all been equipped with the same love through the Holy Spirit because of Jesus Christ. There's so many reasons, so many reasons to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's more than 10,000. Can we all stand together as we close?
God, I worship your holy name.
Amen, 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 and amen. All right, your break from church is over. And I want to declare here in a moment the beginning of church as we walk out those doors. That where you go, the church goes. Where you go, he goes. Wherever your feet are, he is present. And there's a place in the midst of that. He's put you where he has put you because he has something for you. If you're on this side of eternity and you're here for a purpose. Don't miss what the purpose, don't be distracted by the circumstances. And when you're out there, there will be storms and rain and wind and waves. But our foundation, church, is strong. Because we have a foundation. Jesus is our cornerstone. And we're a people of faith, hope, and love. I'm going to bring my friend Brian up here. He didn't know I was going to do this. But would you just come? Would you just pray a blessing over us? Would you do that?
Let's pray. Father, I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that your Spirit would empower, refresh, and bring boldness in this coming week, and that wherever their foot may rest, whatever their hands may grasp, that your wind and your fresh fire would blow through and bring strength and blessing and honor and glory to you, no matter who and where that is. And when you do that, we will give you thanks.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Love you guys.